Ladies and gentlemen, please stand by. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Coca-Cola FEMSA third quarter 2017 conference call. As a reminder, today's conference is being recorded, and all participants are in a listen-only mode. At the request of the company, we will open the conference up for question and answer after today's presentation. During the conference call, management may discuss certain forward-looking statements concerning Coca-Cola FEMSA's future performance and should be considered as a good faith estimate made by the company. These forward-looking statements reflect management's expectations and are based upon current available data. Actual results are subject to future events and uncertainties, which can materially impact the company's actual performance. At this time, I'd now like to turn the conference over to Mr. Hector Trevino, Coca-Cola FEMSA's Chief Financial Officer. Please go ahead, Mr. Trevino.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us to discuss our third quarter 2017 results. We continue to successfully navigate challenging consumer environment and cost pressures in some of our territories to deliver solid top-line results for the third quarter of 2017. Our positive results were driven by our portfolio and pricing initiatives, point-of-sale execution, rollout of affordable presentations, and financial discipline across our territories. As we previously announced, commencing February 1st of this year, we started consolidating our Philippines results in our financial statements. Due to this consolidation, our results for the third quarter reflected a reduction in our share of profit of associates and joint ventures accounted for using the equity method, particularly in our Mexico and Central America division. We are encouraged by signs of consumer recovery in Brazil and Argentina and better-than-expected results in the Philippines for the quarter. In Mexico, we faced a complex operating landscape in September, resulting from the unprecedented earthquakes and hurricanes that softened the consumer environment. As part of our initiatives to drive transactions ahead of volumes by fostering single-serve consumption, we highlight our transaction growth in Brazil, Argentina, and the Philippines, which demonstrate this value equation across our core carbonated soft drinks and non-carbonated beverage brands. Our Mexico and Central America division reported a contraction of 3% in volume. Since Mexico contracted 3.2%, while Central America recorded a slight volume contraction of 0.9%. In South America, we reported volume growth of 4.2%, including the results of our latest acquired territory in Brazil. In this division, Argentina reported 4.6% volume growth. Brazil reported a decline of 1.4% on an organic basis. Colombia, a 10.4% decline, and Venezuela, -47%. In the Philippines, we achieved volume growth of 7%, building on a strong 7.3% volume growth for the third quarter of last year. For this quarter, our consolidated reported revenues increased by more than 16%. This was in line with our 16.6% increase in gross profit, a margin that we successfully protected even with cost pressures in some countries. Our operating income decreased by 2.8% due to higher expenses across our territories and the negative effect of Venezuela for the quarter. Our operating cash flow grew 13.7% for the quarter. These figures include our results from the Philippines and the acquired Bompar franchise territory in Brazil. During the quarter, our consolidated comparable revenues rose rose 3.9%, driven mainly by average price increases in Mexico, Brazil, Colombia, and Argentina, while our comparable gross profit grew 6.6%. On a comparable basis, our operating income increased 3.3%, excluding the results of Venezuela and Bompar and the effects of currency translations, and assuming the inclusion of the results from the Philippines also in 2016. Similarly, on a comparable basis, our consolidated operating cash flow increased 5.2% compared with the third quarter of last year. We began the integration of ADES in our non-carbonated portfolio in Mexico, Brazil, Argentina, and Colombia. We'll focus on increasing coverage, enhancing point-of-sale execution, and expanding in the traditional trade channel. Our operational transformation, driven by initiatives from our Center of Excellence, is progressing according to plan. We continue to implement our commercial digital platform across our territories. As of September, we have been deploying these platforms in 6 countries. We are enthusiastic about the preliminary results on tailored consumer-oriented initiatives, the agile opportunities detection, and better resource allocation. Moreover, we started to deploy our distribution and logistics platform in Mexico and Brazil to reduce our cost and enhance our value chain flexibility. I will briefly discuss the highlights of each of our operations. In Mexico, we deliver 5% revenue growth resulting from pricing ahead of inflation, which was partially offset by a low single-digit volume decline, mainly in July and September. We increased prices in June to compensate for the increased price of concentrate that began to apply in July and was reflected in softening consumption. As a result of the extraordinary September earthquakes in the state of Mexico, Chiapas, and Oaxaca, and 2 hurricanes in our territories, we experienced a slower consumer environment that affected our volumes. Together with the Coca-Cola Company, Coke FEMSA launched 2 million special edition 12-ounce cans of Coca-Cola with the Fuerza Mexico slogan. All the profits from which will be donated to the earthquake relief efforts. It is important to note that even in this softer environment, we have neither seen a significant shift between single-serve and multi-serve carbonated soft drinks, nor a shift from non-returnable to returnable packages. Coca-Cola Sin Azúcar or No Sugar continue its positive performance and is outpacing the volume of Coca-Cola Light. With this in mind, we continue to increase the mix of non-caloric beverages in our Coca-Cola portfolio. The performance of our still beverage portfolio was in line with same period last year, including double-digit growth of Santa Clara dairy products. For the quarter, our Mexico operations top-line growth enabled us to partially contain higher costs and expenses, resulting mainly from unfavorable foreign currency hedges, higher sugar prices that increased close to 20% compared with the same period of last year, and higher concentrate prices, and incremental diesel and gasoline prices. These variables led to a mid-single-digit contraction in operating income. In Central America, our volume declined 0.9%, following low single-digit growth last year. For the quarter, Guatemala and Nicaragua reported volume growth, while Costa Rica and Panama experienced a low to mid-single-digit decline in volumes. In particular, Costa Rica's consumer environment was affected by Hurricane Maria. As compared with the same period of last year, our average price per unit case in local currency remained flat. However, the effect of currency translation impacted the division's top-line results. Brand Coca-Cola and its non-caloric options had a low single-digit volume contraction in this region. Still, Coca-Cola Sin Azúcar is outpacing the volume of Coca-Cola Light during the quarter. In our water portfolio, we reported a high single-digit volume growth. Additionally, we better benefited from year-over-year resin and sweetener prices, which improved our gross margin. As we previously noted, we have been implementing route-to-market initiatives in the region. As part of these initiatives, the implementation of our pre-sale platform in Guatemala boosted our average daily sales by 14%. Increase our market share, improve our point-of-sale execution, and capture efficiencies in our distribution network. In the short term, this strategy increases our cost of service, impacting our operating income. However, it will enable us to capture top-line opportunities. Our South America division continued to show positive signs of recovery in Brazil and Argentina, while Colombia continued to experience a complex consumer environment. In Brazil, our third quarter results show a positive trend compared with the second quarter. Indeed, September marked the second month of organic positive volumes this year, followed by June, partially driven by our affordable strategy, including our two-liter returnable presentation, which grew close to 6%. On an organic basis, our Brazilian operations volume contracted 1.4%. Including the Bompar franchise territory, volume grew close to 24%. Additionally, our average price per unit case in local currency increased in line with inflation. In Brazil, we achieved encouraging profitability with an operating margin expansion resulting from better portfolio segmentation and point of sale execution, price compliance, and cost and expense efficiencies. Additionally, we continue to maintain positive market share in the carbonated soft drink category, marked by a positive trend. In addition, we achieved a positive momentum driven by the appreciation of the Brazilian real, as well as better aluminum and PET prices. The launch of Fanta Guaraná has been a success. It now represents close to 10% of our flavor portfolios as an option with lower sugar for our consumers. Our integration of Bompar continues on track. We rapidly improve our point-of-sale execution. We are successfully expanding our portfolio of returnable PET presentations with significant volume and coverage throughout the territory. And we are capturing pricing opportunities across all of our beverage categories. In Colombia, a sharper than anticipated deterioration in the labor market, prolonged negative consumer confidence, and delayed investment and household spending has negatively impacted our consumer environment, as we reported a 10.4 volume contraction. However, we continue to improve our portfolio of affordable and returnable packages, increasing our mix of returnable presentations by 4.3 percentage points compared with last year. Our market share increased year to date 1 full percentage point with the growth of brand Coca-Cola. Additionally, we have been increasing our mix of non-caloric options, such as Coca-Cola Light and Coca-Cola Zero, which have achieved double-digit growth throughout the year. Our improved pricing aligned with inflation, together with an improved execution at the point of sale, focus on increasing share of visible inventory and product coverage, enable us to partially mitigate the effect of contracting volumes for the quarter, while allowing us to improve our margins quarter over quarter. In addition, better sugar and PET prices, combined with a stable Colombian peso and an aggressive reduction of our cost and expenses, contribute positively to our margin expansion. In Argentina, we reported 4.6% volume growth for the quarter, with transactions rising ahead of volumes as we diversify our single-serve portfolio, such as the entry pack of 250-milliliter can at 10 Argentine pesos. Our sparkling beverage portfolio volume grew 1.5% compared with last year, with mild single-digit growth in flavors thanks to the performance of brand Crush and our non-caloric options such as Sprite and Fanta Zero. Our still beverage category achieved double-digit volume growth, driven mainly by our Cepita and Hi-C brand juices. Fostering product innovation and offering diverse options to our consumers, we launched non-caloric options such as Aquarius Zero and Cepita Orange with 0% added sugar. Consequently, our non-caloric portfolio represents 29% of the mix, a 2 percentage point increase. Although our Argentine operation was impacted by a national truck driver's strike, which stopped our operations for 3 days, our top line growth in local currency in line with inflation and better PET and sweetener prices enable us to increase our gross profit. As we previously explained, in the third and second quarters, we had larger labor-related expenses and costs since salaries are referenced to the previous year's rate of inflation, which negatively impacted our operating margin. In the face of an exceptionally complex environment in Venezuela, we have recorded sequential volume growth throughout the quarter. We continue to focus on local currency cash flow generation in order to mitigate increased operating expenses. Considering the existing inflation in this country, we remain committed to satisfy our Venezuelan consumers' beverage needs. Moving on to our Philippines operation, for comparable purposes, we are describing the performance of this operation as if it were consolidated last year, considering the full 3 months year over year. For the quarter, our volume grew 7%, building on high single-digit volume growth during the third quarter of 2016. As part of our commercial strategy to develop key carbonated soft drink packages and to reinforce the attractiveness of our portfolio, our single-serve presentations of colas and flavors achieved double-digit volume growth in the quarter. Even with our improving mix of single-serve presentations, our revenues grew less than our volumes, as our prices remained relatively flat in nominal terms compared with the third quarter of last year. Additionally, our water portfolio achieved accelerated growth of 20%, with personal water improving more than 50% compared with last year. Moreover, our non-carbonated beverage category, led by juices under the Minute Maid Fresh brand, grew close to 28%, which was offset by a decline in our powder products. Better sweetener and PET prices were partially offset by a devaluation of the Philippine peso as applied to our dollar-denominated raw material prices. Our Philippine operations operating income also increased, driven by our cost efficiencies and reduced operating expenses. Now, regarding our financial results, in the third quarter, considering net income attributable to equity holders of the company, earnings per share were 1.5 Mexican pesos, an increase of 37% compared with the third quarter of last year. As we announced in August, we used the proceeds of the Mexican bond issued in late June to partially refinance the U.S. dollar-denominated notes due 2018. Below the operating income line, our comprehensive financial results decreased significantly. This decrease resulted from our strategy of swapping out net dollar debt exposure to Mexican pesos and Brazilian reais. Consequently, although we have higher interest rates in these countries, we will not have the effect of foreign exchange volatility in our income statement. We would like to remind our shareholders that as of November, we will pay the second installment of the dividend approved by our shareholders in the amount of 1.67 Mexican pesos per share. Now, let me close with some key remarks. Our company started an encouraging second half of 2017 with significant progress on all strategic fronts. Our organic results improved compared with last year, with slightly lower volumes, but get better gross profits in most of our operations. Mexico experienced a low single-digit volume contraction. However, excluding the Philippines from last year's results, our operating income remained flat, despite the effects of foreign exchange fluctuation and increased sugar cost, concentrate, and fuel cost. Brazil shows strong growth in profitability, offsetting other countries' results in our South American division. For Brazil, September marked our second month of positive volumes for the year, along with prices aligned with inflation and an expansion of our operating income margin. In Argentina, our volume increased by close to 5%, an improving trend compared with the first half of the year and a positive outlook going forward. In Colombia, despite our volume contraction, we continue to gain market share with the growth of brand Coca-Cola, supported by our returnable strategy and with cost containment to improve our margins. The Philippines operation shows positive volumes and improving profitability. However, we expect pressure on sweeteners going forward, which will lead to mid-single-digit operating income for 2017. Furthermore, we saw continuous progress on all strategic and operational fronts. Resetting our competitive edge in Central America, including our introduction of pre-sale in Guatemala, increasing our point-of-sale execution and driving affordability throughout all of our territories, focusing on returnable presentations, growing our non-caloric mix, and continuously progressing with our digital transformation. Guided by our strategic framework, we are committed to reinforcing our leading market position as a global beverage company through our diversified portfolio, to transforming our operating model through our centers of excellence, and to driving a cultural evolution that will enable us to continue capturing both organic and inorganic growth and creating sustainable value for our shareholders now and into the future. Thank you for your continued trust and support. And operator, I would like to open the call for questions.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question today, it is star one on your telephone keypad. If you are on the speakerphone, we do ask that you depress your mute button. That does allow the signal to reach our equipment. In the interest of time, we do ask that you limit yourself to one question. Again, if you'd like to ask a question, it is star one. Our first question comes from Antonio Gonzalez from Credit Suisse.
Hi, good morning, Hector. Thank you for taking my question. I wanted to ask about Brazil. We've heard that in light of the legal process between the Coca-Cola bottlers and Heineken in Brazil, the distribution agreement, which on paper was supposed to be terminated by the end of this month, might actually extend a bit further. So I wanted to ask if you can give us any update on whether this is the case from the perspective of Coca-Cola FEMSA. And what are your thoughts on how quickly, irrespective of what's the exact month in which the agreement gets terminated, what are your updated thoughts on how quickly can the Coca-Cola system find an alternative to this beer volume that will be lost sooner or later, and whether this can interrupt the pace of recovery and profitability that we're seeing in the country? Thank you.
Good morning, Tony. With respect to Heineken, our position is that the contract is effective until 2022. And as you correctly pointed out, Heineken announced that they wanted to terminate the agreement basically the next week. The agreement that we have provides for, let's say, mechanism to resolve differences. And we are currently in that process, which have an obligation to keep confidential what has been discussed during this process. In the event that we are authorized by Heineken or by the Brazilian authorities, we will be able to disclose some of the details. And basically, Antonio, we are 1 week away from the time frame that Heineken provided last. With the idea of this confidentiality, to wait this following week, and very probably we'll need to disclose some. But right now, we have this obligation of confidentiality. Okay?
I see. Thank you so much.
Our next question comes from Lauren Torres of UBS.
Hi, Hector. I was hoping you could give a bit more perspective on your views on Mexico. Volumes were impacted, as you mentioned, as a result of the earthquakes and hurricanes in this quarter, but we've all been kind of curious to see or hear if you are experiencing, you know, any pushback at the consumer level, a slowdown. You know, there's concern going into next year with the elections, and we're hearing a lot about these NAFTA negotiations, that the market could soften. And also the margin pressure that you're seeing on these sweetener and concentrate costs, and you're protecting that with pricing. But, you know, maybe a little bit more looking into next year, how do you feel about that? Do you think you could continue or get back some of this lost volume and grow volumes again and protect or grow your margins in light of the cost environment? Thank you.
Good afternoon, Lori. Yes, let me speak a little bit about Mexico. It's still kind of, even though October is almost finished, let me give you some perspective on the consumer. July was certainly affected with respect to volumes, volumes were affected by the fact that we increased prices in June. And that's what we were expecting during that month. August, we had a positive volume trend, low single-digit volume growth. And then September was very complex for all our region. Since we have a lot of rain due to these hurricanes, lower temperatures related to these storms. And then we were hit by two earthquakes that affected especially the south of the country. October continues to be kind of soft with low single-digit reductions in volume. And what I was saying at the beginning, I'm still not sure if part of that has to do with the areas that were mostly affected by these earthquakes, which has to do with our southeast region. If we divide the territories, in our northern territories, including the old Tampico territories, we saw basically a reduction of around 1.5 to 2% volume reduction, while in the south of Mexico, we were seeing close to 5% volume reduction. So that clearly signals that there were some elements in the south of Mexico that were affecting our consumer, and we believe that has to do mostly with the climate that was affected by these hurricanes, but somehow also affected by these earthquakes. We continue to see a consumer that is kind of shy for our products or not growing as we were expecting in our budgets. Difficult to predict what is going to happen next year with what you are describing on the noise that NAFTA negotiations are creating in the economy and also the election that is going to start, or the process for that will start, you know, around January. So we believe that with the cost pressure that we have, as I described during the call, with sugar prices or sweetener prices increasing close to 20%, the increase in concentrate that incidence increase that we have, as I mentioned also in this prepared remarks, we started with this increase in July. The main objective of the company, of our operations in Mexico, is to maintain profitability, and that's why we have seen in price increases that are important for a low inflationary environment. Although inflation has been high because of the gas prices and we are hitting in excess of 6% increases, we are speaking about 8 to 9% increases in our average price per unit case in Mexico. Again, with the objective of maintaining the profitability in this operation. I don't know if that's the description I wanted to share with you, Lauren.
Very clear. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Pedro Leduc of J.P. Morgan.
Thank you very much for taking the question. Quickly on the Philippines, we've seen a good few quarters now of margins perhaps above levels that we initially thought. Just looking to hear your thoughts on what's been driving it, even though volumes are flattish there, and mix that you just mentioned, as well as an update on the perhaps tax discussions there. That would be useful. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Pedro. The Philippines. you probably recall some of my remarks in previous calls. We are seeing a substantial increase in the profitability in the Philippines. Still on a low margin seasonality, every year, first and second quarter have a better margin because of volumes than the third and the fourth quarter. And if you remember, since the beginning of the year, I spoke about 5 to 6% operating profit margin. So what we are seeing there in the Philippines is that we have this quarter somewhere around 3% operating income. This is slow compared to the level that we like to see. In EBITDA margins, given all the investments we have done there, is a double-digit margin number, which is good. The risks in the Philippines are potential restrictions on importing high fructose from Asia, especially from China, because of pressure from the local sugar cane producers. That could potentially affect our cost structure as local cost of sugar is higher than what we are importing from China. We do not have a definition on that, but that's a potential risk. And clearly, as you are saying, there is this potential tax on soft drink that is being discussed in the lower house and the Senate. Our understanding right now is that the Congress is in a recess right now, and they will start discussing this towards the second half of November and first half of December. So our estimate is that if we were to have this tax, it would be more towards the beginning of next year. Difficult to know if this tax will go or not and what the level of this will be. And clearly, we will have to evaluate how to compensate in case this tax is passed, how to potentially compensate for those taxes and for an increase in sweetener costs. A lot of the strategy in the Philippines right now is basically to continue growing volumes and increasing the profitability of the business as we dilute better our fixed cost structure through volume generation. And for that, as you have seen during the last year, basically, we have been with prices in nominal terms more or less similar. So in real terms, we are with prices below inflation. That might need to change in case either the sugar prices or the tax, the potential tax is implemented, no? And we need to adjust our cost structure and efforts in the Philippines. No?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
Our next question comes from Isabel Simonato from Bank of America Merrill Lynch.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Hector. I have two questions. First of all, in Brazil, if you could share a little bit more details, what are your expectations of volume recovery next year? And if you could try to break down between CSDs and still beverages. And also in Mexico, if you could discuss the outlook for raw materials next year as well as your FX hedges. Those will be my questions. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Isabel. With respect to Brazil volumes, we are seeing what's happening in Brazil in general terms. We have a very positive news in terms of the integration of Bompar. So we have an important growth in volume terms. On a comparable basis, we're still with a small decline in the quarter, although, as I mentioned, September was a positive month. We are trying to maintain prices in local currencies, in nominal terms, with small increases to try to compensate for some of the cost increases that we have. And that has translated into very good profitability numbers for us in Brazil. Obviously, after suffering a little bit more than 3 years of contracting volumes and contracting margins. So we are, it looks like, as I mentioned in the previous conference calls, that the second half of the year is going to be much better in Brazil than the first half. So Brazil, we feel very confident that the volume trends, prices, margins are going in the right direction. With respect to raw materials, excuse me, and we are seeing our expectation for next year is we are expecting low to mid single digit volume growth both in CSDs and steels. We are not seeing a special substantial increase in either of the categories. With respect to raw materials, we are seeing prices, our expectation is that prices for PET and sugar will be similar to what we have during 2017, so we are not seeing special increases in this front. The only exception is that because of the one of the suppliers basically going out of business in Mexico, one of the suppliers for PET, we are starting to see a little bit of pressure on PET cost. That, our expectation is that the market for PET will have an adjustment and some of the rest of the suppliers will adjust to supply the lack of this raw material created by this plant going out of business in Mexico. So we could expect some, I guess, especially for November and December and probably January, low to mid single digit increase in dollar terms in the cost of PET. Sugar in Mexico continues to be kind of a tricky question because while some of the international sugar prices are coming down importantly, in Mexico prices continue to be high. So our expectation is for prices to stay where they are in Mexico and not to continue increasing, but also we don't see necessarily a reduction to international levels for 2018. With respect to our hedges, we have basically cover with the risk management practice that we have internally that has worked very well for us, especially to provide stability to our operators in terms of some of the cost of raw materials. We have basically hedges for the fourth quarter at around 19 pesos and 70 cents per dollar, Mexican pesos per dollar. And on rice, we have around 325 to 328, more or less that's the range. For the second part for the first half of next year, we have some Mexican peso hedges around the 20 pesos per dollar, and in the real, we have some hedges around 323. Basically, that's the strike prices, the average strike prices that we have. So what we are looking with this strategy is basically to give our operators the opportunity to have certainty on some of the cost of the raw materials, especially those that are dollar denominated, so that they can better plan their prices to the consumer or to our clients and the margins that they will deliver as a result of all these strategies. Thank you, sir.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Martha Shelton of BBVA.
Hi, thanks for taking the question. I was just looking at volumes in Colombia, and it looks like we're coming up on several quarters now of a negative volume decline. And I know that that's affecting other consumer companies that are operating in Colombia. So just wanting to get some insight into what you're thinking about insofar as how to approach Colombia, what to do to improve volumes, and you know, your thoughts on whether or not this is a result of, you know, really competitive pricing actions on the part of your competitor there, or if this is really just a macro-oriented issue. Thanks.
Good afternoon, Martha. Colombia is kind of a question mark with respect to this volume performance. The answer is, what we are seeing is a macro environment that is not good for our industry. With this, volumes in Colombia declined 10% during the quarter compared to last year. And but at the end of the day, we continue to gain market share because volumes for flavored drinks have decreased more than volumes for colas, and we have a much better position on colas. So the readings that we have from Nielsen and the likes is that we continue to increase market share, and therefore it's not a competitive pressure. It's the consumer that is not there. Very importantly, as we see the Colombian consumer, this behavior that has been there for a couple of years, is this strategy that we have deployed of going to returnable PET packages that was not present in Colombia before, and that is helping our consumer to have a more affordable product. When you look at returnable products, we have increases in volumes on those packages. So I think that the strategy is well designed. We are doing the right things for the market. But what we like to see is the consumer to come back to the category and start, you know, a positive trend on volumes that will benefit a lot the profitability of our operation in Colombia. Because as we have been decreasing volumes, more and more those are the golden cases that bring a lot of the profitability for our operation in Colombia. Okay. Thank you, Mark.
Great. Helpful. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Alex Robart of Citi.
Hi, everybody. Yes, thank you. I did want to go back to the quarter and the results, specifically around South America. And what struck me was really the trend at the OPEX level. The quarter seemed to show that we had the mid-teen or actually 16% increase in the South American operating expenses year on year, that, you know, kind of twice the rate of growth of sales. And I'm wondering if this this sharp increase relative to sales is in some way, you know, partly reflecting the salary increases that you talked about earlier in Argentina. Could it also be wondering if it could reflect this you talked about a new distribution platform in Brazil, and might that involve some front-ended OPEX? And just kind of getting a sense, I mean, is mid-teen growth in OPEX something that we should be thinking about for the next couple of quarters? So, you know, that's the main question. And the last thing is just a clarification. Is it safe to assume that this discussion around high fructose imports in Philippines is in fact separate from the piece of legislation around fiscal reform? Or I was under the impression that it was, but you seem to be saying that it's actually a separate line of potential change in the Philippines. Thanks very much.
Good afternoon, Alex. With regard to the first point, OPEX in South America, we have some increases basically related to what you described, that I described in, during the opening remarks, which has to do with labor costs in Argentina increasing similar to inflation of last year, that was much higher than what we have now. So in real terms, when we look at this number, the contracts that were negotiated with the unions, is a substantial increase in real terms this year. You can argue that last year we had inflation and salaries were below inflation last year because of the same reason. But this time around, we are seeing this increase. The other important element here is that it's important for you to remember that we are including Bompar, which is not present last year in the numbers. And just take a look at that, because maybe that's one of the explanations there. We obviously have Venezuela embedded in the South America division. Remember that we have to use inflationary accounting rules in Venezuela, so we need to bring everything to the latest estimate in terms of inflation, which is very high in Venezuela. So I'll say those are the three main impacts for the increase that you see in OPEX. With respect to your second question in the Philippines, I see those two issues separate. Prior to all the discussion with for any potential tax, there were very tough discussions with the cane sugar growers association in the Philippines, and kind of a pressure on the government to put some tariffs on imported sweeteners that was, you know, in a way negotiated back and forth with good results for the industry in general, or for the Philippine consumer at the end of the day, as imports remain open, and then this potential tax discussion came. In the drafts that we have seen from the lower house and the Senate, there is this mentioning that maybe there could be a potential tax differentiation between those products that use cane sugar, local cane sugar, versus those that use high fructose, imported high fructose. But again, this is just speculation with respect to the drafts that have been circulated in the press in the Philippines. So I'll say that at the end of the day, they started as two separate issues, and I think that the potential tax legislation, it looks like, could be differentiated between the different sweeteners, and in a way, you know, these two issues are merging in this potential tax regulation. Thank you.
I appreciate that, and that's helpful. Just a clarification, though, on the OPEX. Now, I mean, I understand the Vonpar expenses weren't there in the prior year period, but neither were the sales. So it was really what was interesting is OPEX growing twice the rate of sales. But I can follow up offline. And on the Brazilian distribution platform, I mean, just that was kind of the other piece of that. Could you comment on how that's going and what your expected outlay for that and opportunity to save or to be more effective at go-to-market? That would be great. Thank you.
Yes, Alex. On the digital platform, we are deploying two basically main projects. One has to do with all the digitalization and basically our sales people going to the market with basically a smartphone, with very targeted initiatives that our expectation is either to improve a bit the volume, because you have more targeted initiatives, but certainly improve the net price that we receive as we better design promotional activity and avoid these discounts or promotional activity that are that will not create an important traction on volume. So it's the fact that our expectation is that we will be able to better track and analyze the effectiveness of these promotional activities. On the other front, we are also moving into a more coordinated and better designed logistics network that could bring about some additional savings in Brazil. That second part is more towards 2018. The first part of the description, the smartphone is already working there. I think that we are seeing some of the effects of the commercial platform by looking at the execution and the point of sale and the scores that we are getting in that front. We were basically the last of the last of the with respect to the or the different bottlers in Mexico in terms of the scores that we were getting. We are number one now. And Bompar is moving very rapidly also on the scale on those execution scores, which clearly signals for us that this commercial platform is helping in that front, Alex. Thank you.
Got it. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Felipe Uclos from Scotiabank.
Yes, good afternoon, Hector. Maybe if I could have a follow-up on Colombia volumes. One of the issues that we're having trouble understanding is that while we do understand there was clearly a macro shock from the tax reform at the end of last year and the consumer suffered quite a bit, we are kind of seeing a rebound in retail sales, and it seems like consumer confidence is also rebounding. And some of the other consumer companies we follow in the country already reported positive volumes in 2Q and are expecting, again, positive volumes in 3Q. And in my mind, that's where I'm kind of missing something in the puzzle. I'm seeing that the volumes are still contracting in a very strong way, but I'm seeing other sectors in consumer recovering a lot more quickly. If you could comment a little bit on what you think is driving something different from you guys than the rest of the industry, that would be great.
Yes, Felipe, it's a strange trend because we see the numbers that you are describing, and you are correct. Some of the retailers, including the Oxxo stores over there, are starting to perform better. The consumer in our industry is not reacting the same way. What strikes the most is that, as I mentioned, we continue to gain traction with returnable PET, which is a more affordable presentation, that returnability is growing. And we continue to gain share. And that clearly signals that it's more like an industry trend that is affecting the consumer. Per capita consumption of our industry in Colombia has been one of the lowest for many years in the 10 countries that we have. Our take of this is that the consumer has other options, including tap water and juices from fruits. The fact that our share is stable or growing a little bit, it's kind of indicates to us that we are moving with the right strategy in the marketplace, but it's a strange trend. We are following very closely other industries, other companies, as consumer good companies, as they report, and it's strange that our industry continues to have this kind of volume decline. Our expectation is that for next year we'll see some pickup in volume in mid-single digit, but that's basically our budget. And we, after, you know, having suffered several years with volume declines in this country. Thank you, Felipe.
Okay, understand it. Thanks a lot.
Our next question comes from Alvaro Garcia from BTG.
Hi. I want to go back to organic volumes in Brazil. I mean, the organic decline is quite impressive, especially in light of what the Coca-Cola company mentioned, of a high single-digit decline this morning for the country as a whole. And I guess my question is just delving a little deeper, like what really is driving that? Is it an effect of a lower base? Is it the digitization? What exactly is driving this outperformance vis-a-vis the rest of the country? Thank you.
Good afternoon, Alvaro. We saw the Coca-Cola company report, and we shared some of this information with the rest of the bottlers. And we are seeing that trend, which is very positive for us in the sense that we believe that because of the efforts with affordability, with single-serve presentations that continue to be at magic prices, with returnable PET, and the very important improvement in execution in the point of sale, we believe that that's what is explaining this differential in the performance during this quarter. And that's basically our belief. I don't remember exactly how we were comparing versus the other bottler in previous years, but clearly the efforts on those two fronts, on affordability and execution, we believe are giving us this opportunity to improve much better than the rest of the system.
That's great. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Benjamin Theor from Barclays.
Hey, good afternoon, Hector. I just wanted to go back to Mexico, and thank you very much for giving a little more detail on the volume outlook, how it behaved throughout the quarter, and obviously there were certain one-timers, but I'd like to dig into actually the performance on transactions. So we clearly have seen a significant decline of almost about 4.5% in transactions in Mexico. So with the price increase in July, how did that translate on transactions, and then how did August perform, and then what ultimately happened in September, so that we get a little bit of a sense of how you've been doing on the transactions in Q3, considering that in Q2 we had actually a decline in transactions in Mexico, so just to get a little more clarity on the transaction picture. Thanks.
Good afternoon, Benjamin. As you pointed out, we have been struggling a little bit in Mexico with this formula that we like to see of transactions growing more than volume and revenues growing more than transactions. So that's the magic equation that we like to see. No? In the case of Mexico, and probably because of this soft environment with the consumer that I described, and certainly affected by these earthquakes and rain for hurricanes. But what we are seeing is the consumer moving strongly to multi-serve returnable PET, especially the 2-liter presentation. And we are seeing a decline in some of the single-serve presentations, especially 600 milliliter. Several facts. Obviously, the price per ounce or the price per liter on the large packages is more affordable to the consumer, so that volume is growing. The 600 milliliter is now being priced basically around 12 pesos, which is, in a way, moving away from the 10 peso magic price point. When you have inflation, it's difficult to maintain these magic price points. And as you know, inflation in Mexico pick up. It's still at manageable levels, but on the 6 to 7%. And the alternative is to start trying to maintain these magic prices with different presentations. And that's what we are doing, introducing 400 milliliters and 500 milliliters, et cetera, including some returnable glass presentations that continue to have attractive prices for the consumer. But in general, what we are seeing is this trend towards larger packages and the smaller packages or the single-serve packages suffering a little bit more. I don't recall exactly, Benjamin, how that transaction behaved month by month, but we can follow up in a different question. But it's very similar to the volume. It's a negative July, slightly positive August or flattish, and a negative September because of what we described in the hurricanes. But Maria Dila and Jorge can share probably better numbers later on. No?
Okay, perfect. That would be much appreciated. Thanks.
Thank you.
And ladies and gentlemen, that's all the time we have for questions today.
Okay, thank you so much for your interest in Coca-Cola FEMSA, and as always, we'll be available to answer any of your remaining questions. Thanks a lot.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our call. We do appreciate your participation, and please have a great day.